And good afternoon. Welcome in. It's Sports Talk on this Tuesday, May 8th. Scott Beatty here with you alongside Lauren Tate, the legendary Mr. Tate.
Look out.
We've got you till 6 o'clock. Glad to be with you. Good show for you, I think. I'm excited for it.
I always like to talk to Kendall Gill.
Yeah, Kendall Gill will be joining us in a little while. What doesn't Kendall Gill do? But he's a Chicago Bulls analyst and TV. He is part of a team on the Big Three League, and he's a former Flying Illini.
Retired boxer.
Yep. And in better shape than most of us could ever hope to be at any age. So we'll catch up with him. Also, Brad Dancer from Illinois Men's Tennis as they get ready to host the regionals this weekend. It's anniversary of them capturing the Triple Crown National Championship back in 2003, so we can ask Brad about that. Along the way, we've got some open phone lines. If you want to join us, 356-9397. And the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. And I just did a commercial there. Wasn't supposed to do that. Sorry about that. We'll get it right here. Do want to catch you up with the headlines of the day. And then we will dive in and start with baseball. Cardinals fall to Minnesota 7-1, the final this afternoon. Cardinals held to just two hits. One was Jose Martinez's solo home run. That came in the first inning. Twins have run 1-5 in a row. Cubs are hosting Miami tonight. Jose Urena goes for Miami. Jen Hosang gets the start for the Cubs in a spot start. He had two appearances last year for the Cubbies, who are two games over 500. White Sox host Pittsburgh. White Sox looking for just their 10th win.
They're looking bad. But by the way, do you think that think maybe the Cardinals just expended themselves against the Cubs?
They are awfully streaky right now.
Wasn't that a perfect time for Minnesota to come in? I mean, they just caught them. They didn't have a catcher, you know. They didn't. You know, they had to bring up a minor league pitcher in Gant. They, you know, the Pham's out of the lineup. He's been their best player. I mean, it's just perfect situation for the Twins.
Yeah, Pham held out for the second straight day, and tomorrow is an off day, so he may be back come Thursday. NBA tonight, Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors can each wrap up series wins in their Western Conference semifinals. Utah hoping they can recreate the success they had in Game 2 when they beat Houston 116-108 and had a lead as much as 19. And if Golden State can beat New Orleans, it'll be a 15th straight home playoff win that would tie the Bulls for an NBA record. And despite an online report to the contrary, NASCAR driver Kyle Busch is alive and well. The report claimed he had killed himself. Bush is leading NASCAR's Monster Energy Cup Series points standings.
Why does the NBA playoff remind you of Murder on the Orient Express? You
Everybody,
already know the ending, but it's still fun to watch it as it goes
there
along.
There you go. I was trying to think, like, well, everybody plays a part in this. That's a good book. I don't know how the movie was.
Well, I saw the movie twice. I saw the first one and the second one, and it was extremely well done and a lot of fun. But the second one, I sat there the whole time knowing exactly who committed the murder.
There is little doubt in the NBA. But here is the one thing about the NBA and the NBA playoffs. The best teams win.
Well, sure, if you got a seven-game series, you know the best team's going to probably wind up on top. If you played one game like they play in the NCAA basketball tournament, anything can happen in one game. Just one bad. I look back on Michigan State this year. They've had a couple of years where they just played horrible in the tournament after having being really good during the season.
In that tournament, good teams make it to the Final Four, to the championship.
Well, most
but
of the time.
Good teams don't always. The best teams don't always get there.
Yeah, I think it's a chance. There's upsets along the way, I think. I mean, I don't know who the best is because you can't always base it on what happened during the season because teams change during the course. You have injuries. You have guys that come on and get better. But I think that it's true that Villanova probably was number one all the way through and proved it.
So we are in this odd period of time where Illinois spring sports, and you wrote about it this past Sunday, spring sports are doing well, but kind of a lull during the week while we wait for things to get going. Illinois baseball has a huge series this weekend against Michigan, who's atop the Big Ten. Big Ten softball tournament, Illinois softball, I'll be headed that way. They probably need three wins, if not the four, and win the whole thing to guarantee a spot in the NCAAs. And you have regionals for men's tennis this weekend and women's tennis. Men are hosting here, first and second round. A lot going on. But in between, we wait, and we look at Illinois basketball recruiting, and we watch baseball.
Well, I can't keep track of Illinois basketball recruiting. When you offer more than two dozen players for the class a year from now, I mean, I'm lost. I don't know who they really want. I don't think they want all 24. You know, I mean, if number 24 on their list said he's coming, they probably wouldn't take him. You know, that's just the way it works. This is really strange. This is altogether different than it was for many, many years in the past, where Illinois basically recruited in the home state and didn't go very far from home and didn't make many offers.
356-9397 is the phone number. Carl is in Champaign. Good evening, Carl.
Hi. Lauren, I read last week that Andy Petty had gotten shot in the face last month.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you'd talk to him.
I have not talked to him, but I talked to Rod Cardinal today about him. Rod has got all the information. He was shot. The bullet went through. He was collecting from a person who was being basically evicted from their apartment, and the victim took it out on him and shot him. It went through his cheek and his neck, and he's doing, in search of a better word, he's doing fine. He's out of the hospital, and he's doing fine.
Okay. You know, I keep thinking about, when you talk about recruiting, I keep thinking about what Paul Klee said about Illinois having greater respect the farther away you get from the state. And when you consider how many out-of-state recruits they've gotten, I wonder if that's a factor in that.
Boy, I don't know. I think each case is different. I mean, the interesting thing about Griffin and Jones, who is coming from New York and California, is both of them have background in Chicago. Both of them have lived in Chicago. So both of them have connections with the state. And some of the other situations, assistant coaches had connections with people previously. So, you know, I think each case is an individual case, and I don't know the answer. I think the thing that we're sitting on right now, Scott, especially, is Okoro, who seems to be favoring Oregon in his desires to pick a school here in the next few weeks, and was supposed to visit Illinois tomorrow, and it isn't clear to me right now whether he's coming or not.
You know, it looked like Purdue was in the lead for a while.
Well, that was talk, but I don't know if that was true or not. It seemed like Oregon's been in there all May in his mind. Or maybe the Purdue trip didn't go as well as he hoped, and he saw that he can't start at Purdue. Look, he's not going to start at Purdue.
If you want some playing time, it's here.
That's right. Bol Bol is going to be starting at Oregon at center, no question. He's the center. So I don't know where he's going to, you know. And of course, somebody's going to tell him he can play power forward, of course. But with Illinois, he would be the center. I know that. I know for a fact that Underwood is very high on the way he has played and the way he moves on the court. He would fit into what would Underwood like to see to be a fast-moving game, a fast-paced game.
Yeah, because he's an undersized five, but that can actually fit Underwood's system pretty well. Now, we all thought that would work okay for a guy like Michael Finke this year, and it didn't. But Okoro is different. He's a bigger guy.
He can rebound and jump.
Yeah. And
run.
And the minutes are here. And I think the other factor is how much does he want to be near family? How much does family want him to be nearby?
Well, that, Carl, are you still there?
Oh, Carl's gone. Sorry. Oh,
okay. Well,
thanks for the call, Carl.
I was going to say that there are stories going around, okay? One story that you always hear, you know, if you're recruiting a guy 50 minutes away, you say to him, boy, it's nice to be close. Well, maybe he doesn't want to be close.
Yeah.
and so in this case, it may be just the reverse. It seems to be, right now, the reverse. Whether they can turn him, I don't know, but he seems to be heavily leaning toward Oregon.
Let's go back to the phones, 356-9397. Alan is up. Good evening, Alan.
Good afternoon, guys. Do you guys have any idea what Michigan State's recruiting was going into next year?
You mean the incoming freshman? I have to look it up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
I know it's not what it has been in the past, but I'm sure they got some good players. But they don't have any Miles Bridges, I don't think.
Well, they don't have Jaren Jackson either, right?
No, he's gone. Both of them are gone, and I don't know where Ward is. Ward's debating whether to come back or not, so they could lose their whole front line.
Wow. That'd be hard to replace.
I wouldn't think that Ward would be drafted, would you, Scott? I don't think he's good enough.
I mean, he's awfully big.
Yeah, he is.
I've seen big guys before that I thought, well, are they really that good? And they go.
Yeah.
They go. So.
Leads into my second question. Who in the Big Ten do you think has made the biggest jump in recruiting?
Indiana.
Yep.
Did they really?
Well, man.
Michigan State, by the way, according to 247 Sports, has the number 4 class in the Big Ten. And number 17 what? Class nationally. For this
what's the Illinois rank?
Oh, I guess it depends on if Francis Okoro comes. I don't remember the last rank overall. Do you, Lauren?
No, I don't. Look, it's the wrong time to be talking about recruiting classes because it's not over. And I don't know. On one hand, they say that Dosunmu is one of the top 4 or 5 players coming in the league. I don't know if he is. I mean, that's somebody making a judgment in New York City about somebody in Chicago. I don't know if I saw him play maybe more than the guy that made the decision. I'm not sure how good he is.
I remember how much we were cheering that Mark Smith was coming. It was Trent Frazier that turned out to be the star. Illinois is right behind, for what it's worth, in 247's ranking, right behind Michigan State at number 5 in the Big Ten, number 23 nationally.
Well, the thing that makes Illinois high is they have so many. I mean, some schools only have 2. Illinois's got 5 or 6 now. I don't know how many. I've lost track, but they've got a good junior college guy, and I think he's a good pickup. But they missed on the one they really wanted in Courtney Ramey, who went to Texas because Ramey wasn't ready to make a decision, and they had to tell Felix something, and so they took him.
Back to the phones. One more. Jerry's in Savoy. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, guys. Did I hear something that Jerry Kill, the old northern, southern Minnesota coach, is going back to SIU as AD?
Yes, he is back.
I thought he had severe health problems. And
he's always had them.
Did he get over them?
Well, I don't think he can coach anymore. Yeah. I mean, he stepped away because he was with Rutgers, and he kind of stepped away from that. But apparently he has the energy to be an athletic director now. I don't know. I mean, that's a 24/7 gig as well. So I don't know how you can handle that if you can't really handle coaching.
Well, he's convinced him he can do it.
But he's really well liked.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I like him a lot. I thought if he would have stayed at Minnesota and kept recruiting, they might have been up there like the other. I'd say in the top 5 maybe, but there won't be 1 or 2, of course.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Appreciate it. Sports Talk here on a Tuesday. We are going to talk to Kendall Gill. That's the plan when we come back. Also, Brad Dancer later on in the program. We've got Scott and Lauren here on a Tuesday Sports Talk.
Join us for the next Bohannon Show with Frank Gaffney of the Center for Security Policy on Gulfstream. Riots should not be allowed to take over a key American port. Tonight at 9 on DWS.
Thanks for being along. It's Sports Talk. We have you till 6 o'clock, and Scott and Lauren are here. We are pleased to be joined by a former Fighting Illini, Flying Illini, Kendall Gill with us, now a Bulls analyst and a member of the Big 3 League, among a lot of other things. Kendall, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to Sports Talk.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hey, let's start with the NBA playoffs and LeBron James, who continues to be LeBron James and one of the greatest basketball players ever. Look, the comparisons and the arguments about LeBron James and Michael Jordan are kind of getting tired, but when it comes to the postseason, how does LeBron James, to you, stand out in comparison to what Michael Jordan was able to do? You know, is it all about the rings? Because LeBron James has become a different type of guy here lately in the postseason.
He has, but he doesn't compare to Michael Jordan in the playoffs. I actually had a debate with a friend of mine, and I went back and got all kind of stats and everything and sent them to him. I could actually read them off to you guys. We wouldn't have that much time, but Michael far exceeds LeBron in playoff efficiency. He far exceeds LeBron in points scored. And, you know, listen, I played against both of those guys. I played against LeBron for two seasons, and I played against Michael for the duration of my, well, for all of my 15-year NBA career, with the exception of two when Michael retired. And I can tell you the difference was Michael was just on a whole different level. LeBron, yes, he's great, you know, and I think that LeBron is the third best player of all time. I think that Michael, and actually some people would agree with me, is second. I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, with his body of work both in high school, college, and the pros, is the greatest basketball player of all time. I mean, none of those guys won three national championships. None of those guys were three-time National Player of the Year. If they had allowed Kareem to play his freshman year, he probably would have won four national championships and would have been the four-time National Player of the Year, all-time leading scorer, the single most devastating shot in NBA history. If you put Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's accomplishments up against anybody, nobody else compares total body of work. Now, that being said, let's move back to the conversation of LeBron James and Michael Jordan. Michael was just on a whole different level, and I was telling my friend that unless LeBron James can get into the 6'5 club, that means six NBA championships and five MVP awards, then I don't want to talk about LeBron James even being mentioned in the same breath with those guys. And Michael Jordan went to the finals six times. He came back home with the trophy six times. And as the great Johnny Bach once says, I don't care how rough the seas are, bring the ship in. LeBron, yes, he's been there, eight straight times, I believe, but he's only brought the ship in three times. And two of those times he had to do it with two other Hall of Famers in his starting five.
Well, Kendall, this is Lauren, and I'm going to take you on here a little bit. Bring up the number of points, do you also have to consider the number of shots? I mean, you've got people that average an awful lot of points, take an awful lot of shots. When you talk about championships, you're talking about teammates. I mean, it is a team game. And why would you consider the number of championships when if he had all the best teammates, like Jabbar had the best teammates in college and the best teammates in pro? Is that
for part of the time? But when he was in Milwaukee, Oscar Robertson wasn't in his prime, was he?
Well, no.
No, okay. We won a championship there. I mean, you look at a young Magic Johnson, a young James Worthy. Yes, those guys were very good at that time, but I don't think that they were in their prime at those times. And, you know, Lauren, I mean, has anybody ever duplicated the sky hook yet?
No.
In pro basketball? No. Has anybody ever achieved the points that that Kareem has achieved? And, Lauren, you know this, and I was around back then, but I was a baby. They even took the dunk out of college basketball because of Kareem.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that before.
Well, the one thing I think you might have overlooked is how good Jordan was defensively. He was really, really good. Better than LeBron, even though LeBron's bigger and can maybe guard a lot of different positions. But LeBron can't guard centers. Not big centers, not good centers, and Jordan could really guard guards. I mean, he was terrific at it. He would shut down a guy.
Yeah, he could actually shut you down if he wanted to. And, you know, I tell people this all the time, that when Michael Jordan played, he played in an era where we could hand check you. We could guide you where we wanted you to go. He had to deal with all of that physical play, and he still averaged more points than LeBron James does at this point without hand-checking rules. Now, if you go back, what if Michael played in this era? He probably would average 40-something a game because you just couldn't hand-check him. And, I mean, that's my argument right there. I mean, case closed.
Kendall Gill with us, former Flying Illini. Kendall, from the latest reading I saw, you're going to be back with the Big Three League this summer. Is that right?
No, I'm not. I'm not going to play this season. You know, they had the draft. I didn't participate in the draft or anything. But you know, hey, listen, if they call me up and say, hey, we need a guy to play, then you know, I'll go out and play.
Because we are just a couple weeks away from. Am I allowed to say what's coming up in a couple weeks for you? Your 50th birthday.
Oh, come on!
Right.
That's amazing. It's amazing that you would even be able to consider it. And is it a lot of it because of the boxing you did in addition to the conditioning that goes with being a pro basketball player?
Well, all of it has to do with the boxing that I did. You know, I still train like a boxer, which is very rigorous training, and that's what that's what has kept my reflexes alive. That's what kept my endurance up. That's what kept my weight down. When you live and when you become like a boxer, you have to sort of live a Spartan lifestyle when you take it seriously. And you know, that's sort of what I've done over the years, and that's why I've been able to keep most of the things that I've been able to do. I can't jump as high as I used to, but
you can still dunk, can't you?
I can still dunk. Yeah,
okay.
I can still dunk, but not like I used to. Not like in the Flying Illini days.
Why did yours dunk left-handed? Why didn't you dunk right-handed? You're a right-handed player.
Yeah, because I'm left-handed, actually. I write with my left hand. I eat with my left hand. I do everything with my left hand, but shoot the basketball.
How did that? Were you just taught to shoot it right-handed, or you just naturally gravitate toward it?
Well, no, my dad was a baseball player, and he tried to switch me from throwing the baseball with my right hand to my left hand because he wanted me to be a left-hand pitcher in the major league. And that's how it all started with my left hand, and I just gravitated to doing everything with my left hand after that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Hey, back to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. There's always this adage that, you know, there's kind of a – I don't know if it's a stereotype or what, but that during the regular season, guys aren't really playing defense. Do you see it that way, or is this just another level of play because of the intensity that is the playoffs right now? And I mean, and to that point, I mean, there's a lot of points being scored in the playoffs right now, so I don't know if there is more defense.
Well, I think it's twofold. One, I think that the guys have ramped up their defense in the playoffs, because that's what always happens. Two, I think that because you've given all the advantages to the offensive player with the rules changes, you really can't play tough defense like you used to back in the, maybe not even 6-7 years ago, you know, because they want, of course, the league wants entertaining basketball. So they need to give all the advantages to the offensive players, and they have all the advantages. So if you try to touch a guy or try to play good, solid defense, a lot of guys get in foul trouble these days, and they just don't want that to happen. And I think you see so much scoring now in the league. And you look at a guy like James Harden, Steph Curry, guys like that who dribble the basketball a lot. Back years ago, they wouldn't be allowed to do that because guys would really be up inside, hand-checking them and controlling them with their bodies. They would still be great players, but they probably wouldn't be as prolific a scorer as they are now. By the way, I want to ask Lauren this. Lauren, how do these guys get away with this traveling that they do now?
Wait,
in the NBA? I just don't understand it.
I think it's been that way for a long time. I think they've always traveled, haven't they? I mean,
the Eurostep's an optical illusion to me.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you guys saw the guy from Philadelphia pump fake without a dribble, take two steps behind the 3-point line and shoot the basketball. How James Harden gathers all the time when he carries the basketball,
yeah,
takes an extra two steps. You know, my son was doing that the other day at practice, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he's like, "James Harden does that." I was like, "No, son, you can't play on the game that way." And sometimes I think that kind of destroys the fundamentals of the game when kids see that. That's why I like to see the NBA come with stricter rules about their traveling call, because, I mean, it's really unfair to the defensive players.
I agree, and I don't know if you were a defender how you could really stop guys anymore, because it seems like just minor contact is a major whistle, and what's his name from Utah? I'm forgetting him. You know, he kind of ran his mouth after, you know, getting called against James Harden the other night.
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, there you go. And you know, it just seemed like, wow, that's all that is a foul these days. And you could just Google traveling on YouTube and find a gazillion instances where guys are taking a lot of extra steps. I don't know how somebody could stop anybody anymore.
It's very difficult, and that's why I say they've given all the advantages to the offensive player. And that's why, well, let's go back to the LeBron James Michael Jordan debate. Imagine if Michael Jordan had all those advantages that the players have now. How many points a game would he average?
We started out the show before you were on, Kendall, about saying that the NBA season is something that you watch even though you know the outcome. At least you know who the final two players yeah. are going to be in the right. NBA Finals. Does the NBA have an issue right now? Is this something that will kind of naturally correct itself? Because it seems like the popularity of this league is as big as ever and may be the best of any of the major four sports. But you have huge gaps between the good teams and the pretty good teams, let alone the good teams and the bad
teams.
Plus,
you had a bunch of teams at the end of the season who didn't want to win
exactly.
because they couldn't.
There's no
better.
Incentive.
This is true, and I can answer that question as well, Lauren. But, yes, I think that it's naturally going to work itself out. I think that you've seen a young Philadelphia 76ers team that's going to be around for a long time. If they can continue to nurture their talent and keep those guys together, I think that Boston now is a viable threat to the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially when you add a Kyrie Irving and a Gordon Hayward back to the mix, two of their top players that are out with injuries. I think if you have those two teams in it, Cleveland really is not, it's not a cakewalk to the championship anymore. And I think that if had Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward stayed healthy, then I'm not so sure that Cleveland gets out of the East. I'm probably going to favor Boston in that series. As far as the Western Conference, I think that we can't really pick who's going to come out of the West this year. I could do it with certainty last year that Golden State would, but now that Houston, Chris Paul and James Harden have gotten together and they're really rolling right now, I'm not so sure Golden State comes out of the West this year. So naturally, the Western Conference is having more parity in it. So, you know, I think that the league is in a great place right now, as you said, and I think that the league is becoming more competitive, whereas a couple of years ago, you knew it was going to be Golden State and Cleveland in the finals. You can't really say that this year. Now, going back to the teams tanking games, Lauren, this is what I would do. After the All-Star break, the bottom teams in the league, whoever ends up with the best record at the end of the season, those are the guys that get the most ping pong balls in the draft lottery. That way you'll stop the tanking.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will have the incentive to win. Because I'm telling you, working for the Bulls, and listen, I love the Bulls. I love my job. But I knew exactly what they were doing.
Yep.
You know, trying to get in better position for the draft lottery. But it doesn't make for good basketball. And it doesn't make for good entertainment for the fans. You're not giving them their value. So that's what I would like to see the league do. Make a rule like that to give these guys incentive to win.
Hey, Kendall, we appreciate so much you spending some time with us. And in case we don't get to tell you in a couple of weeks on the 25th, happy birthday, the big one, the big 5-0.
Thank you very much.
How are you going to celebrate?
Thanks a lot.
And I'll see you June the 15th in Chicago, Kendall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right, Lauren. I'm going to celebrate. You know, I'm not going to have a big party. I just told my wife I want to go to dinner with my close friends and my family. That's all I want to do.
Is the golf outing scheduled again for this summer?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We will be there.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to you when you're down here in town again.
Okay, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Kendall Gill, former Flying Illini, second class, I should say the second class, Illinois Hall of Fame member who will be inducted formally this fall, but they'll have the gala this summer. Bulls analyst, good guy. Glad to have him on. Appreciate Kendall Gill's time. 4:43 Sports Talk, 5:43 that is. It's 4:43 in Denver. We will switch to tennis. Brad Dancer will join us when we come back. Wednesday night, Little League Baseball. Join Michael Kaiser and Evan Kahn for Dodds versus Coons. That's 6 o'clock Wednesday night here on DWS and WDWS.com. .82 degrees, 5:46 Sports Talk. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott. He's Lauren Tate. And coming up this weekend, it's the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament for men's tennis. Also the women's tennis, but the men's tournament
will be here Saturday and Sunday. Illinois is a host site of the regional. Their head coach, Brad Dancer, joins us now. And Brad, well, let's start before talking about the future. Let's talk 15 years ago, because you can celebrate when you celebrated a national title and an undefeated season and the Triple Crown. Can you believe it's been 15 years? Brad, are you there? I guess, well, that was awkward because I just set him up for a big question. I don't know if he can even hear me. All right, we'll try again for Brad. But in the meantime, Illinois, a number 8 seed overall in the tournament, is hosting. And they will be playing at 3 o'clock on Saturday. You going, Lauren?
Yeah, I'm going to go. Marquette at 3 o'clock. And then they should play on Sunday at 2 o'clock if they beat Marquette. They play the winner of Drake and Vandy if they advance. Drake and Vandy play at noon on Saturday. So a lot of good competition out here. Hope we get good weather.
Indeed. Yeah, it's. I guess they will be outside unless it rains or whatever. They have the luxury of moving in.
Right. They have a certain level of temperature, and they have a level of wind degrees that that determine whether they have to go inside or not.
The women are headed down to Texas Tech, Lubbock, Texas, and they will play Princeton. And then the winner of that will play the winner of Army and, Army and Texas Tech. So they'll get the winner there.
Yeah, Texas Tech is the host.
All right. We're looking for Brad Dancer. We'll see if he's calling. If anybody's listening and is standing near Brad Dancer, tell him to pick up his phone. In the meantime, Illinois softball, they head tomorrow to Madison. They will take on Maryland as a number 6 seed in the Big Ten tournament, 1:30 on Thursday against the Terrapins. The Terrapins really haven't been very good at all. The thing about the softball tournament for Big Ten is they take 12 out of 14 teams and they go single elimination, unlike baseball, which goes top 8 teams in a double elimination format.
Yeah, and of course, in softball, the top 4 teams get a bye.
Yeah, so they get a bye out of the first round.
By the way.
If Illinois had won on Sunday, because Northwestern lost against Wisconsin, they would have had the bye, and that would have been huge, and that may have given the NCAA a better look at them. At 59 RPI, there's never been that low of an RPI in the tournament for an at-large bid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a tough pull.
It is.
And I tell you what, they've done a fantastic job without a dominant pitcher. Now, the pitchers have been very good at times, but they don't have somebody that just goes out and strikes everybody out like we saw Minnesota last year.
They are middle of the pack in pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Baseball, I think they're in a slump right now. That's just how
they
it is.
Are. And part of it is because the pitching, the starting pitching has been off and on, and the hitting has been off and on. And then the last game that they played, the defense was off. And so those things lead to problems. And it's too bad because I think the talent's there, but I just think, as you said, I think they hit a slump.
If you're not sure that baseball is a team game, if your pitching is not doing very well, that causes your offense to press.
Mm-hmm.
Your offense feels the need to pick up the where they are slacking, and that can cause more problems offensively. Same with the defense. You got to make the hero play, and one thing can lead to another. So baseball feeds off itself very much. 4:50 here on Sports Talk. If you are thinking about what is the best direction to go for your roof, maybe you haven't even thought about your roof on your home recently. The fact is, it's one of the most important things on your home. Obviously, it keeps all the elements out and keeps everything contained. A little problem, a little leak, a little bit of water getting in can cause major problems later. You got to get those little things taken care of. Swanson Roofing can help you with that. Of course, they can help you with the full-on replacement as well. Corey Swanson stands out, and this is the reason why. They bring a professional crew with them of full employees that are certified. They're not bringing hired hands. Check out Corey Swanson and the Roofing Dog. The estimate is free, and when they are on site, their workmanship is above a lot of others. In fact, they are willing to put a guarantee on their roof, on your roof, for the lifetime of your roof, for their workmanship. And, of course, it's high-quality materials they're bringing as well. It's a free estimate, 355-ROOF, or online at theroofingdog.com.
Hi, it's Dave Gentry. Join us on the DWS Morning Show for Champaign City Manager Dorothy David. That's Wednesday morning on DWS.
.82 .556 Sports Talk. Men's golf. They're in the regionals on Monday out in Columbus. They have the advantage of playing a course that they've already seen a few times in their lives out at Ohio State.
Yeah, Hardy and Meyer played every course in the country, haven't they?
They're all over the place, too.
Yeah.
You see them all. Nick Hardy was up in Chicago doing a hit with a TV station early morning today. It's also finals week, apparently, so I guess, you know, people are doing that. The athletes are, but there's a lot to juggle right now for everybody this time of year. And wish them all well. I think the golf is just heating up. They're finally playing probably their best golf, and I think Mike Small wants to see more out of it. Yeah, he thinks they have probably another notch or two to go. But when Dylan Meyer isn't playing his best, that could be encouraging because in the sense that you know he can give you more.
Yeah.
And that can give you a really good run.
Yeah. If down the line, if all the people down the line keep playing as well as they have, and you know they've been in they've made match play the final eight several times here and recently, and that's a real accomplishment to get there in medal play to reach the final eight, and then it's just every man for himself, and it's a coin flip after that.
Quarterback Joe Burrow has decided to transfer from Ohio State. He graduated from there this past Sunday, and he tweeted today that he was looking to explore other options. Not a real surprise. He was behind Dwayne Haskins Jr. as the replacement starter after JT Barrett has left.
Yeah.
But I there's a Big Ten school on his radar as a possible place to go.
Which one?
I had it in my head and it just went away. But
isn't it interesting how quickly quarterbacks move when they see they're not going to play? I mean, it all over the country.
It baffles me. I mean, some guys must be here for a scholarship or for the experience, or maybe they're on a scholarship. But you have to know, if you're the fourth or fifth guy on the depth chart, that you're not going to see the playing field unless something really bad happens.
That's right.
And what's your motivation?
Well, if you recruit a quarterback every year, you're going to have four quarterbacks on your team all the time. Now, Illinois is going to have five by the time they get everybody in this year.
Yeah.
But and they're getting a transfer.
And they're trying to bring another, and they're getting another one after that. So
I don't know. It's kind of interesting that it's almost like basketball. Basketball, all the players want to be somewhere else. And now we've got 181 players who have signed up for the underclassmen who have signed up for the draft. 180. There are only 60 positions, and many of those will be taken by foreigners. And a few will be taken by fourth-year guys, graduate. But that's almost unheard of, I guess. For a guy to stay in college 4 years and be drafted, that's almost unheard of.
Lauren, thanks so much. Enjoy a really nice evening.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Yeah, Cardinals have already played today.
They've already lost.
Thanks to Kendall Gill for joining us. Always good to talk to the Illini Hall of Famer. Tim Dittman has you tomorrow and the rest of the week. I'll be with you for Illinois softball coming on Thursday, 1:30 against Maryland here on DWS. Thank you, Blake Landa, as well. News is next. It's Newstalk 1400, WDWS, Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station at 6 o'clock. Good night.